Hello and welcome to the Writers and Illustrators of the Future podcast. This is John Goodman, your host. We're here today at the Salt Lake City FanX Convention in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm here with a very special guest we haven't seen in some time, Mr. Brian C. Hales. Welcome,
yes.
Brian.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you were a winner back in 2002 with the Illustrators of the Future contest. And you did two illustrations in that book.
I did, yeah. I was 2 years into college, and I heard about the contest and entered. And that's back in the days when the winning illustrations were black and white. So yeah. I think I entered a series of maidens and dragons that I had done. And I was happy to win the contest and fly out to Hollywood.
Absolutely. And then who was it was Kelly Fries there? He was delivering the workshop?
Yeah, Kelly Fries and Sergei Piorkov was one of the judges running the workshop for us. And it was a great volume, great judges out there.
Okay, great. So now what I'd like to talk about is like how your arc to becoming like a professional artist, because a lot of people who are listening to this are aspiring artists, and so they're interested in to hear other people what they did and how to do it.
Uh-huh.
So so when you started, you were originally a twinkle in the star for your parents, and then you arrived, and then what happened?
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to be an illustrator.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever questioned that. I was sort of Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes, yeah. The intrepid spaceman Spiff, imagining myself with dinosaurs and dragons. And when I was 13, there was a contest to design a U.S. postage stamp.
Yeah.
It was put on by McDonald's and the Postal Service, the U.S. Yeah. Postal Service. And I was one of two winners out of Utah, and then they chose four winners out of the nation, and there was 300,000 entries.
Wow.
And so when I was 13, I got that sort of taste. They flew my family to Washington, D.C. a couple of times, and we were supposed to meet the president, but it was the day we landed was the same day as the Oklahoma City bombing. So
oh, no.
We got a tour of the White House and meet the Postmaster General and all that. But it sort of gave me this taste for, the art contests. And then I heard about Illustrators of the Future a few years later, when I was in college. And I was like, this is a great opportunity, The way you guys have this set up is mm-hmm. just, it's perfect for young artists. A lot of young artists don't have a lot of money and resources.
Yeah.
And so to come into the industry and make an impression, it's a great opportunity. So.
And since then, now we've gone everything digital online that you can upload. So even if you
right.
if you really are the starving artist and can't afford making copies and postage, you don't even
it's
need to do that anymore.
Now.
It's even easier
yeah.
now. Yeah,
right. The barriers to entry are much less.
Yes. Yeah. So any particular memories you've got from that week in Hollywood?
Yeah. So Ron and Val Lindon ran the actual workshop,
right.
And they had, of course, all the other judges that come in and make special appearances. And I remember just soaking it all up. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of this stuff I had read in books, by Andrew Loomis and Bern Hogarth as I was studying anatomy and all the basics. But it's kind of more the business side that I didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
So you're a great artist. That's only half of it, right? You have to yeah. know how to market yourself. You have to know how to advertise and make connections. And so the business side was kind of a crucial part that I had no idea about. And so during the workshop, we covered a lot of that stuff as well, which was pretty helpful.
That's awesome. So now, over the last 17 years now, so you've had quite a stellar rise as an artist. So talk about like what's happened now since winning.
Yeah, since I won, I have written and illustrated a few graphic novels, Dragon's Gate, Devil's Triangle, some children's books, Skeleton Play, Don't Go Near the Crocodile Ponds, and actually just here at FanX, I'm just releasing my new spy thriller. It's a fully illustrated novel, and James Bond with a female protagonist, but she goes up against the International Central Bank.
So, oh, wow.
Sort of the man behind the curtain and shows the world their true colors. So, yeah, a lot of fun projects, and I've got another few novels and children's books in the queue already. So,
oh, that's awesome.
I just love writing and illustrating stories.
So now you illustrate your own stories now. So you don't team up with somebody else. You team up with yourself.
Yeah. I mean, besides these personal projects that I've mentioned, I've also illustrated a bunch of books for American Girl.
Yeah.
And Arcana Studios. I did one called Continuum, which was optioned by New Line Cinema. And dozens and dozens of book covers and other artistic projects. So I've been really busy,
yeah.
if you can't tell.
Yes, I can definitely tell. So now with the aspiring illustrator. So it's, you know, somebody wants to have a career as an artist. Things have evolved and changed since you originally got your break in, which is a lot different than when Kelly Freeze and Val and Don started, even way earlier than that.
Right.
So what would you say, like, are some really key, from your perspective, tips of, like, for aspiring artists, what to expect and what not to fall prey to?
Yeah, well, I mean, starting out, it really comes down to your skill set. You know, you can't skip over the basics and the fundamentals.
Uh-huh.
Just like in anything, you know, you can't go into, expect to play in an NBA All-Star game if you don't know how to dribble or pass the ball or, you know, play with your team. So you gotta still have those basics. You know, the human anatomy, animal anatomy, composition, lighting, balance. All that stuff. You can't skip that.
Right.
You know, people recognize an amateur from a professional, and you have to get past that first barrier of just learning those basics. Once you've done that, you know, it's all about learning the market. There's an art market. There's such a thing as supply and demand.
Yeah.
And that doesn't change for artists. You know, you got to figure out, you know, what's selling and what people are buying, but you also have to stay true to your passion. You know, you have to do what you want to do, and you have to do the style that you're best at. And, you know, build an impressive portfolio because
right.
we know the world we live in has a lot of competition and you have to stand out from the crowd. So
that's excellent advice there. So now with respect to someone who's starting out, you know, they're going to have one of the things that is common is, you know, just giving up. They're just like, well, nobody likes me anymore. I'm not able to, you know, I don't have what it takes. And, you know, he said no, so I'm a failure.
Yeah. Yeah, I would suggest growing a thick skin as you're an emerging artist. Be open and welcome critique because it only improves your art.
Uh-huh.
As I was growing up, you know, in my teen years, believe it or not, my toughest critic was my mother. And she had taught sculpture at the Academy of Art in San Francisco for 12 years. Yeah, so, you know, most mothers and grandmas praise their kids' artwork, right?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, that's so great. It's so beautiful. You're such a great little artist. My mom was telling me, you know, the anatomy is wrong here. You can adjust this. You know, where's your light source? Where are your shadows? And she was helping me to improve that way. And it might have been, as a young kid, you know, that might have hurt my feelings a little bit, but I started to actually appreciate that.
Yeah.
And so when I got into those college critique classes and portfolio reviews, you know, while some students would run out crying because their feelings were hurt, you know, I was soaking it in and saying, what can I do to make this better, you know? So.
You already had.
I had been through it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So on the importance, is portfolios still something that's of value, having a portfolio to sell yourself?
Oh, I think so. I think definitely. The thing is with an art career, people don't really care what degree you have. They don't care how much schooling you've received. They want to see your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because they're looking to make some money and, you know, great imagery can sell a book.
Right.
Right? Or it can sell if a great cover can sell
sure,
a film,
sure.
whatever it is. And so they just want to see that you're going to be able to make them money with your amazing imagery.
Right.
So, yeah, I would say portfolio is actually key. Because if you don't have a great portfolio, you know, what do they have to hire you on? You know, they're not going to hire you because you have a doctorate degree, you know.
Yeah. Now, do you do varying portfolios so you tailor your portfolio to, if you're going to go meet with someone with an art director, like, okay, so is it important to do homework of who it is that you're going to go see and then tailor a portfolio to that art director?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, if you want to work for Blizzard or Wizards of the Coast, you have to see what they're publishing and you have to, you know, you have to bring your work up to that level and into that style.
You're not going to bring a Disney piece of art to see
right.
Wizard.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to apply at you know, a Disney video game company, you know, you want to see what they're producing
yeah.
and make sure your stuff matches pretty closely. But like I was saying before, you also have to stay true to your passion and the style that you're best at.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, if you want to do children's books and that's all you want to do, then you have to make sure that your style of children's books is something that will sell. And, you know, every once in a while you'll get somebody that comes into a business like Alex Ross, who's a comic artist,
yeah.
and he was working in watercolor, but there were no, you know, comics being published with watercolor covers,
yeah,
right? And, or, you know, gouache, you know, sometimes you'll have these great artists, and their work is so amazing that they can break in, they can show people that there's a market for this,
yeah.
you know, even if it doesn't currently exist. So I mean, if you're trying to do fantasy book covers, but you don't work in digital paint or oils, you know, let's say you work in acrylics or something, you don't see a lot of book covers being done in acrylic or watercolor. No. But if your stuff is so amazing, you know, that you can convince a publisher to take it and sell it, more importantly, you know, you can break in. So it really comes down to your skill level first, but then, yeah, style and genre may be secondary, I would say.
Okay, good. The value of a contest like Illustrators of the Future today, you know, because with you constantly changing and evolving marketplace, what do you see as the value of this contest?
Yeah, I would say validation is a big part of it. And stepping stone,
yeah.
The learning from of course from the workshop.
Yeah,
I mean, world class artists teaching you for a week one on one, looking at your portfolio, telling you what you need to do. You know, that's invaluable, obviously. And then of course the great awards ceremony at the end. You know, I described it back in 2002 after having experienced it as the Academy Awards for writers and illustrators, and I can't think of anything really like that anywhere else in the world. Where writers and artists receive that kind of recognition, you know, and attention,
right.
And exposure as well. So,
all right. So then, the value of the. So, anything else on the value of Illustrators? Like, you said, the validation that you get, and then working with these world renowned artists.
Right.
Now, with the writer side, it's important. You know, that one of the things that the judges say, the deadlines. Is that an important thing for an illustrator to be able to acquire the ability to make a deadline?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you have to be a great artist, and you have to meet your deadlines, and you have to be good to work with. You can usually get away with two of the three, right?
Yeah.
If you're a really great artist, and you meet your deadlines, but you're hard to work with, you know, they might be okay. But for new artists, you really want to hit all three, right?
Yeah.
You want to be easy to work with, be great, and meet your deadlines. That's and that is one thing you learn with Illustrators of the Future as well. The winning illustrators get to illustrate the winning stories in the anthology, and it's very professional. You know, you're paid professionally, and you expect to meet your deadlines like a professional. So,
yeah, Bob Eggleton gave a story like he became a go-to guy for book covers and magazine covers because sometimes they'd go to hire someone else to do it, and then they wouldn't have it ready in time. And so he get a call on Fridays and said, I need this cover here. I need it by Monday.
Yeah.
And he became the guy that they could go to, and he would do that. And it was a major boost to his career. And obviously being very personable, you know, helped a lot from what you're saying is one of the three characteristics, being good, make deadlines.
Yes, it's a mean thing to put a studio or a publisher through not meeting your deadlines because it can be stressful. They have deadlines to meet just like you do. So, yeah, if you're holding everybody else on the team up, you know, it's not a good thing. And you probably won't get hired again.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a good career move.
Yeah, indeed.
So so if somebody wants to find out more about you, how do they find you?
So, well, I'm here at FenX, booth 530, but I guess we're just about to wrap this up. But no, I have a website. It's my last name, halesart.com. It's H-A-I-L-E-S, art.com. And I also do this sort of art contest for kids. It's called Draw It With Me. And so you can go to drawitwithme.com, and I have an Instagram, which is at drawitwithmeofficial. So you can check my stuff out there.
Great, thanks. And if somebody wants to hire you to do art for them, is that something you do as well?
Uh-huh. Yep, I do client work as well. A lot of studios and publishers and stuff, but I also do a lot of indie author covers and things like that. So
your specialty then is?
I would say my specialty is writing and illustrating novels, graphic novels, and children's books.
And the type of art is then?
Yeah, so I do a lot of fantasy and sci-fi. Digital painting is the kind of the style, depending on the project. But I do a lot of interior art for books and children's books as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Brian. And thank you very much for listening to the Writers of Future podcast here in Salt Lake City. Writers of Future is a contest that was created by Orrin Hubbard in 1983 to provide that helping hand for the aspiring writer and artist. And so we've just interviewed with Brian. So again, thank you very much, Brian, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Subscribe to Writers of Future, which is available on almost any platform for podcasts. Thank you very much.